For nearly 400 years, African Americans have experienced enslavement, colonization, and subjugation. This trauma has left its mark on the Black community. This trauma contributes to health disparities, the Black-white academic achievement gap, the epidemic of violence among our youth, the mass incarceration of Black people, and many of the other challenges facing Black folks as a community. Racism and racial discrimination adversely affect mental health by diminishing the person's self-image, confidence, and optimal mental functioning. In order to heal from trauma, racism, and the lie of Black inferiority, we need a safe space to heal. Black healing and learning circles are the spaces to do this work. Black healing and learning circles are support groups for people of African descent. These groups build unity, solidarity, and hope. They also enhance Black folks' self-esteem, self-image, and sense of self-worth. Black healing and learning circles hasten the healing process by providing a safe space for healing, growth, and critique. Black Healing and Learning Circles, or BHLCs, are not only needed after incidents of racial distress and trauma, but also for community and connection. Many of these BHLCs were developed after the murder of George Floyd in 2020. Even after all the protests and reforms, Black people continue to be disproportionately impacted by police violence. Black people account for 27% of those killed by police in 2021, despite making up 13% of the US population. With statistics like this, it's no wonder why Black people still live in fear of the police today. BHLCs serve as a refuge for Black people trying to escape the harsh realities of living in an anti-Black world. There aren't many spaces like this that center on Black experiences. When there are moments of Black pain, these BHLCs can be helpful interventions to help people process their experiences. These BHLCs function as a third place, a safe and affirming Black space, even in relative peace. Black joy is also highlighted in our BHLCs and leads to flights of Black imaging that can uplift and validate Black experiences. BHLCs are usually held in person at community centers in different neighborhoods. If space is not available, having a BHLC in the park or nature is another option. Being in person helps bring people together and can lead to a vibrant dialogue that moves people to take action to improve their lives or well-being. BHLCs can also be held online and can have a positive impact even if the participants aren't in the same room together. The online format of BHLCs is a little tricky because you can't see the group members in a circle. They are instead displayed as faces in a series of boxes. Feedback from group participants revealed that online BHLCs were functional, but people preferred to have in-person opportunities. However, renting space, especially in San Francisco, is very expensive. It's 6:59 p.m. on a cold and dark night in San Francisco. I'm nervous. In 1 minute, 20 Black identifying individuals will fill the Zoom room. Am I ready? I go over everything I want to say again and again. I don't want to screw this up. It's too important. This space is much needed. I stare blankly ahead at the screen and ask my ancestors for support. It's 7 p.m. Here they come. As I let people into the Zoom room, a feeling of deep sadness washes over me. I feel pain and I feel trauma. I ask myself if I can help these people heal. This is the first time doing a BHLC online. These BHLCs work best in person, where people can truly experience the emotion of the setting. However, I feel like I can at least somewhat match the in-person intensity in this digital space. As the room fills up and Marvin Gaye plays in the background, I think, why have these people come here? What is it that they need from this space? How can I be the most helpful as a facilitator? I struggle to keep my emotions in check. The anxiety is overwhelming. Suddenly, I take a deep breath and pause. I recall why I wanted to be in a space like this. I begin by introducing myself and what I do. I begin by introducing myself and what I do. Since I'm a mental health professional, I'm careful not to therapize the space. I'm here more for support as a member of the community I am serving. I become a participant, and the boundaries that separated us initially, the power dynamics of expert versus participants, fade into the background. I am a group member, and my presence is essential. After our icebreakers, I introduce the space and begin with a moment of mindfulness. We then dive into the discussion. For this particular circle, Black mental health is a critical topic. Many participants in the group have no accurate conceptualization of what mental health is. The mental health discussion starts with defining mental health and what it means to each participant. The answers vary based on how much a person has interacted with the mental health field. I am doing my best to explain it in terms they can understand. How do you take care of yourself? What do you do when you've had a hard day? Do you talk about your feelings? Who do you talk about your feelings with? These questions seem to perplex the participants. Drawing on my own experience as a facilitator, I use an intervention or use of self to get the group to think about how Black mental health is different from general mental health. I share a personal example of my struggle with mental health and PTSD. After I have spoken, the participants reflect on their experiences and share some rich content. One participant shares, "I never took care of my mental health. I've been feeling sad for a long time, but never thought to ask about it. I mean, what was I supposed to do? No one taught me these things." Only 7 million Black people in the United States have reported receiving mental health treatment. That means that the other 35 million could be experiencing some form of mental distress or illness without intervention or treatment. This circle allows the participants to share some strategies for approaching mental health. Here's what another participant said. "It can be difficult to find a mental health professional that understands Black people. There aren't many Black mental health professionals out there. I just don't want to have to talk to a white therapist. They freak me out." This comment about having a white therapist is echoed by many in the group. They all indicate wanting to speak with someone who looks like them and may have had some of the same experiences as they do. This is a chief complaint when I work with Black clients. They are surprised to see a therapist who is a Black man. Therapy to them is dominated by whiteness, and this invalidates their experience as racialized beings. Other participants express concerns about how to care for themselves, especially with racism and racial stress as a factor. One of them says, "It's hard to be Black. It always feels like we always got to prove ourselves. To who? I just want to be healthy, to like myself and to be left alone. How do y'all deal with this?" That was said by Mike. Mike feels like he has been unable to be his best self because of the racism and discrimination he faces daily. Group members are given the opportunity to share their experiences with Mike, who listens intently. Sometimes you just have to say, "Screw this. I'm not taking this crap anymore. I deserve to be here. Why does it matter what my skin looks like?" says Aisha. "I feel that, but I don't think I can do that. I'm a Black man. They, the police, will be on me if I act out. I have to keep everything civil or I'll go bad fast," says Gio. Both Aisha and Gio have had experiences that many others in the group have also encountered. How can one be comfortable with themselves when anti-Blackness is always a factor? How does a Black person in this highly racialized society self-actualize? Learning from one another in this group is a form of education. Although this is an informal space, powerful lessons can be learned from other people's stories. Education is only valued when it is state-sanctioned. However, the state has made it hard for Black people to receive a quality education that is culturally grounded. The form of education in the circle is more organic and answers the community's immediate needs. After the mental health discussion, I conduct a grounding exercise to help participants transition to the next topic. Healing comes in the form of sharing difficult experiences. To heal, the hurt must first be acknowledged. After acknowledging the damage, an ointment must be applied and the wound needs to be dressed. An example of this in the circle was when a member speaks about a racist incident they experienced the previous week. This group member reports feeling stressed out and traumatized by the incident but did not share it. Another group member exposes their wound to the group. I got into an argument with this guy while driving. He cut me off and I chased after him with my car. He then stopped at a red light and started to berate me. He called me a nigger. I was taken aback and all the arguing felt meaningless. I was angry but didn't know what to do. I felt sad the whole day. I was also angry at myself for not doing anything. Other members of the group respond, "I'm sorry to hear that, Mike. It's a hard thing to deal with. People using the N-word, especially white people, it's ridiculous. You have every right to feel angry," responds Johan. "Yeah, he does. Also, you gotta know that you're not that. You're a strong and powerful black man and you deserve to be treated with respect no matter what," says Gio. The other group members come to Mike's aid. These experiences help strengthen the cohesion of the group. Everyone is learning from one another and they are helping heal. Support groups are effective ways to help people assess their harrowing experiences. This BHLC was exceptional because we had folks from Africa join the group. There's a social distance between Africans and African Americans that has only widened since the start of the pandemic. Both groups hold negative beliefs about the other due to the legacies of colonialism and white supremacy. Having a space that includes Africans and people from the African diaspora was very special. As a black male social worker and therapist, I was appalled by the group's lack of knowledge about mental health. It was not a surprise, however, as black people are less likely to seek mental health services, even if there is a great need. I saw firsthand how the legacy of slavery, Jim Crow, and white supremacy shaped these people's beliefs about themselves and their beliefs about black people in general. The stories the participants shared were full of trauma, grief, and confusion. Group members didn't understand why their lives were so hard. I found all this deeply upsetting. I thought about how all these people's lives are impacted by the racism they face every day. Their trauma stories didn't faze me because I do this work for a living, but they did affect my view of the mental health system. As more participants started to share, I started to imagine what an Afrocentric mental health system would look like. Could this system support black people better than the Eurocentric mental health model? At the end of the circle, participants walked away with a lot of knowledge. The participants learned how to create the conditions for healing that can lead to individual and collective wellness. Their awareness, knowledge, and understanding of the various forms that racism and white supremacy can take. The participants also deepened their understanding of the impact of slavery's afterlife, which has plagued black communities for generations. The circle provided the space for authentic conversation and a sense of community. Everyone in the room walked away with a new contact or contacts, whether one participant shared their phone number or participants asked to meet outside of the space to keep the conversation going. This is the power of the Black Healing and Learning Circles. I dream that participants will continue to connect long after the circle ends. My wish for circle participants is to continue fostering the critical consciousness activated in the circle. They wanted to learn more. I was able to point them to resources for supporting their mental health and wellness.